We're going to continue our series entitled The Faith Walk. You know, if there is anything in your life that is not steady or stable, you know, the best advice that I can give you is to attach it to something that is. The Word of God is called the pillar of truth. If there's any area in our lives that's not strong, that's not firm, that's unsteady, there's an answer for every one of us. We can attach our lives to the Word of God, and strength comes. Assurance comes. Truth comes. Light comes. And that's my advice to all of us. Let's choose to attach our lives to the Word of God. And all of us have been there. People fail us. True or not true?
True.
People fail you. We fail people. Guess what? God never does. We can depend on. We can trust the Word of God to do what it does, what it says it'll do every single time. That's good. That is good news. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good news. That is good news. Those of you who are participating online, look at the screen. We won't think you're crazy and say, that's good news. It really is good news. You know, if you've said yes to Jesus, you got to understand the position that you walk in. If you said yes to Jesus, you are a representative of heaven. If you've said yes to Jesus, you are carrying God's glory here on the earth. Transformation power lies on the inside of you. That's not a light matter. You are called, you are chosen, you are blessed, you are empowered by Almighty God to make a difference. Let's do that. Let's make a difference. Our vision here at Word Life is to see the kingdom of God advance, and our mission is to equip believers to do just that. Last week, we talked about going beyond the crowd. We used the example of the woman with the issue of blood who had this issue for 12 years. She spent all that she had with the physicians, with the natural, with what she knew best. And then she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus, and she said something about what she heard. And then she pursued Jesus. She did something about what she heard. And the end result was her miraculous saving power. The Word of God says that she was made whole. You know what wholeness includes? Her finances, her mentality, her peace, her physical body. Because she pursued what she said, wholeness came into her life. You know, one thing that we see, the woman with the issue of blood, what she did, she demonstrated the four essential things that we have to do when we're talking about walking in faith. We have to see something. We have to say something. We have to receive something, and we have to act on that. When we do that, there is nothing on the planet that can stop faith from coming and impacting our lives. In order to walk this faith walk, it requires you and I knowing and understanding what the grace of God has put in place, that has put in store for us. There's the grace of God is more than enough to take care of any need that we have in our lives, and it requires you and I grabbing hold of what's been provided by faith. Walking in faith. Last week, we learned that faith is voice activated. You have to say something. It's voice activated. We learned that doubt doesn't deserve our attention. When Jesus was walking on the water, Peter doubted Jesus was who Jesus said he was. Peter's response to Jesus announcing who he was, when Jesus said, don't fear, when Jesus said, you know, calm down, stop freaking out, it's me. Peter's response was, if it be you, if is the voice of doubt. Jesus was not distracted by the doubt that Peter spoke out. He still said, come. Doubt doesn't deserve our attention. Make a decision this morning that you are not going to get caught up. You're not going to be distracted by doubt, because you'll have an opportunity. Believe me, you'll have an opportunity to doubt, to be distracted. It doesn't deserve our attention. We also learned that when you keep moving beyond the crowd, you will feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. We learned that leveling up And living well comes from raising our expectations. You expect God to do what he said in his word. I don't care if it didn't work the last 4 or 5 years. I don't care if it didn't work last night. You continue to expect God to do exactly what he said in his word. Our expectation has to be raised. Look at your neighbor and say, raise your expectations. Those of you who are watching us, look at who's sitting next to you. Even if it's a 2-year-old child, say, raise your expectation. Speak it out. Believe. Faith is voice activated. Family, say something about what's going on. Say something about what you're believing. We also learned, we were reminded that Jesus is worth the risk. We're reminded that this walk is worth taking a chance on. We were reminded that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible. We have to stop filtering that truth with except or but. We have to take the word of God for what it says, and it says nothing is impossible for God. It doesn't matter if it's finances. It doesn't matter if it's resources, it's jobs, it's relations. It doesn't matter what it is. It's not impossible for God. Settle that. We also were reminded that you are blessed, healed, and whole with finishing power. You have what it takes to make it. You have what it takes to finish the race that you started. We saw that going beyond the crowd means expecting the supernatural to rule my life. We saw that trusting the word of God is going beyond the crowd. And lastly, we talked about Peter, or the power behind the promise. The power behind the promise is Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. We don't just have the promise, we have the power behind the promise, and it's important to settle that. And that brings us to this week. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. This week's subtitle is Unfriend Fear. Unfriend fear. A little bit of fear is not healthy. I remember being in a leadership course and being taught that a little fear is good to motivate you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Fear mixed with faith will dilute the power that is available. Fear is not good for the believer. Every time heaven met earth, the angel or the Lord himself will show up and say, fear not. Don't you believe the lie that a little fear is healthy. That's a lie. Fear not. Eliminate fear. You turn your back, you unfriend fear so faith can have power in your life. Allow the power of faith to rule your mindset. You let the filter in your mind be full of faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22. We're going to read this in the Amplified. Did I give you all that scripture? Media team? All right. It's on the screen. We're going to read this in the Amplified. Let's read that together. Ready? Read. In him and in fellowship with one another. Pause right there. Is it important to fellowship with one another? Okay. We can move on. Ready? Read. You also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Family, we don't get together for the sake of getting together. We get together because we're building something. He's building something on the inside of it. You know how essential it is for you and I to come together? We are building something. We are making him a priority, and we are allowing him to build something together on the inside of us. The purpose of gathering today is to be built up, to have an effective dwelling place for the Spirit of God. Whatever you are depending on is what's manifesting in your life. It doesn't matter what it is, whatever you are depending on, that's what's manifesting in your life. Are you depending on friends? Are you depending on a pension? Are you depending on your reputation? Are you depending on your education? Whatever that is, whatever you're depending on, that's what's producing in your life. How about we decide right now to depend solely on the presence of Almighty God? What if we chose to depend on the truth of the Word of God above all else? What if we made Him our priority? You know what's so exciting about that? Because of the principle of whatever we depend on is producing, that means what's going to be produced in our life is fruit of the Spirit, truth, insight, peace, joy. These are the fruit that come out of the Word of God. Where God dwells, favor dwells. We're building something so that the Spirit of God can dwell. And when that happens, favor dwells in that same place. You know, one day of favor is worth a lifetime of labor. It's so easy for you and I, especially us men, to try to get it done. We're doers. We try to grab all. We're problem solvers. We try to get it done with our own hands. I'm just reminding us, you, ladies, you ain't off the hook. You too. But I see it especially in men. Don't stop depending on the favor of God, because it's worth a lifetime of labor. He can do what we're trying to do in a moment because of His favor. My ask of all of us is choose to depend on the Lord. Allow Him to produce freedom in your life. Allow Him to use you to be a vessel, a source, to cause freedom to show up in the lives of your loved ones and your surrounding. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Where are you guys going?
2 Corinthians 3:17.
Look at your neighbor. Make sure they're not in Genesis or Psalms. Help them out. If they need help, help them out. Worst case scenario, we got the screen. We're good. I do like for us to look at our word. I do like for us to grab hold of it and mark it up, and you know, because it means something. Here, if you have a Bible that's too good to mark up, get you another one. So mark it up, highlight it, you know, make some notations, because God will speak to you. Those are, you know, the Word of God is your love letter from God. You know, you write in there. He's going to say something to you. You write that down in there. You allow that word to be personalized to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What's another word for liberty? Freedom. Freedom. Emancipation. You don't have to be bound to anything. You don't have to be stuck. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be in bondage to anything. When you and I come together and we build something in the presence of the Lord, and we present ourselves and allow His Spirit to dwell, to take over, to come upon us, freedom is always the end result. How many of you want to be free? Those of you online, I know I can't see you, but you can see yourself. Raise your hand if you desire to be free. You know what that is? That is a response in faith. That's like the woman with the issue of blood doing something. She didn't just hear about Jesus and look out the window. Oh, there He goes. She saw, she said, she received, and she told. She did something about it. How powerful is our testimony? When you are healed, say something. When you're believing for something, say something. Those are the essentials of faith. Now let's go to Mark chapter 6, verse 45. We'll look at 45 through 52. I like how the New American Standard Translation broke this one down, so I'll be going out of the New American for that. Mark 6, 45 says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side to Bethsaida. Yes, that one. While He Himself was sending the crowd away, after bidding them farewell, He left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. At about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea, and He intended to pass them by. That has always been a very interesting scripture. He intended. Where was Jesus going? He knew they were struggling. They were about to break the oars. That's my translation. Trying to get to where they're going. And the word of God, which we're founding our lives on, we decided, all y'all who raised your hand, you see, you're in agreement with me. We're establishing the word of God as our foundation and our truth. He intended to walk by them. He intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. They saw him and they cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Now, they were present when the miraculous took place, and they didn't gain any insight from it, and the result of that was a hardened heart. It is so dangerous for you and I to not expect the things of God and to not rejoice and gain insight when God shows up in our lives. You know why? Because our hearts will become hardened. And when we harden our hearts, we turn off our receiving capabilities. And it doesn't matter how good God is. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. We close ourselves off from receiving from God. And when we do that, fear becomes our friend. Fear attaches to our lives. Fear begins to drive us, to inspire us. Fear begins to influence us more than faith. And a life driven by fear, a life given over to fear, can only bring death, destruction, pain, worry, sickness. It's critical that you and I make the decision to unfriend fear. It's critical for you and I to keep our hearts pliable and ready to receive from God. Don't close your heart. Don't allow disappointments, upsets, shortcomings. Don't allow things that go on to cause you to harden your heart. Keep believing. Keep expecting. You see, faith unlocks all the possibilities of heaven. What you need has been provided. And when we believe it's available for us, we unlock the possibilities of it for our own personal lives. Sometimes we live so much in the natural, we try to pull God down to where we are. Sometimes, you know, we need... When was the last time you expected to see a miracle? Expect to see an arm grow. Expect to see your bank account filled up. Expect to see the miraculous take place in your life. That is so important, because where we place our expectation is the opportunity for God to show himself strong in our lives. Think about it. If we could reason it away to something else, coincidence or luck, or we will give somebody else God's credit. And that's dangerous, and that happens way too often. Your perception is your reality. So if you magnify the issue, you begin to shrink God's ability. And there's things that go on in our life. I know that. I'm not making light of that. But is it more than God? Does it supersede God's ability? There are tragic things that take place in our lives. Does that rob God's ability? No, but it's easy to fall into that. It's easy to begin to go down that path. The very thing that overwhelmed these boat full of fishermen was the thing that Jesus demonstrated his authority by walking on top of it. that will take place in our lives, the very things that come to distract us, to discourage us, to cause fear to come in our lives, to take over our focus, you have the ability, because Jesus is on the inside of you, to walk on top of that situation, that circumstance, whatever the issue is. And that's what Jesus was demonstrating. God is never surprised by the storms in our lives. He is never wringing his hands asking, Gabriel, what do we do now? He's never taken off guard. And we have to know that. We have to settle that. Okay, this is where I'm at. God knew it, and God has me, so I'm going to be all right. I'm gonna make it through this because God has me. And if God is with you, it doesn't matter if you're in the fire. Guess what? You're coming out. It doesn't matter. You might find yourself in the lion's den, you know, at work, surrounded with ravishing lions. But because of who's with you, he'll close the mouths of those lions. And you can walk in peace. You can walk upright, knowing that God has you. We have to settle that. Let's go to John chapter 15 and verse 4. God is never surprised by the storms in our lives. There's another illustration when Jesus was asleep in the boat and the disciples were freaking out. And they accused Jesus of not caring. They shook him and woke him up. Don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus got out of his sleep. You know he was disturbed. You know, wiping stuff out of his eyes. You know, he's thinking, oh, I've been teaching you. Y'all have been with me. He got up from his sleep, quieted the storm. He said, peace, be still. Went back and looked at them and said, you know, where's your faith? Are you have that little faith? You've been with me. You've been walking with me. You've been listening. We will find ourselves in that situation if we allow the pressures of this world to dictate our conversation. How many times? God, you see what I'm going through? God, don't you care? God, how could you let me get in this situation? God, how could you do this to me? True or not true? Are we bold enough to yes, yes. We've been there. That is what faith in our heart is for. When we have faith in our heart, when we have the Word of God in our heart, it doesn't matter what squeezes us. It doesn't matter what the pressure is. The Word of God is going to come out. That's when we start saying, God is with me. No weapon formed against me will prosper because of who's with me. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Our faith walk requires you and I abiding in Jesus. The word abide means to dwell or to hang out. How do you dwell or hang out with Jesus? You spend time reading, singing, talking to him. You spend time fellowshipping with him. Every good relationship that you have in your life right now is a result of you spending time. It's a result of you abiding with that person. It's a result of you dwelling. It's a result of you hanging out with that person. The same is true and available with Jesus. We can abide, dwell, and hang out with Jesus and build something strong, firm, and assured. What makes storms of our lives big and overwhelming is our mindset. It's just our mindsets. Now, I'm not belittling what we go through. The things that we go through are real, but they don't supersede the power of Almighty God. They don't overcome who Jesus is and what he does in our lives. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God can't provide for you. That is so important to settle in our hearts. Say that with me. Say, the will of God will never take me where the grace of God can't protect me. So very important. We tend to magnify our situations and circumstances over the power and the ability of God. Don't do that. Make the decision to keep focus on who he is. Let's go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 50. This is the last part of what we read earlier about Jesus walking on the water. I want to look at that in the Amplified. Whatever your challenge is, know that Jesus is on top of it, and when we abide in him, so are we. Mark 6:50 in the Amplified says, "For they all saw him and were shaken and terrified, but they immediately spoke with him, he immediately spoke with them and said, 'Take courage, it is I, stop being afraid.' Everyone in the boat had the opportunity to walk on water that day." The disciples had the same opportunity that Peter did to walk on water. Did you notice the word of God says, "Take courage"? Courage could be made available, but you and I still have to take it. We still have to act on what we know.
Yes.
He said, "Take courage, do not be afraid." Family, receive the word of God and act on it, and fear will flee from you. You know why? Fear, our first words count. You know, I hesitate to tell the story of my car accident, because I've shared it so many times, but it's the most profound moment that I could remember of when my first words mattered the most. When I wrecked going 120 miles an hour, the first thing out of my mouth was Jesus. I didn't do any calculations in my mind. I grabbed the steering wheel. I understand 10 and 2 o'clock. I grabbed the steering wheel and yelled, "Jesus." That was my response to the fear that was crashing in on me. That was my opportunity to take courage. And the result is I lived. And if you've seen the car, I regret not taking pictures of it. If you've seen the car, it was impossible for anybody to live through that. It was impossible. The very top of the car was smashed all the way down to where you couldn't see there was a window. All the glass, it was impossible. I have no idea how I got out of the car. It made no sense whatsoever. I remember walking around. I don't remember getting up. I don't remember crawling. I remember walking around the car, pacing, upset, kicking the tires, because I consider myself a good driver, until I considered the fact and remembered that I'm alive. When I acknowledged that I was alive, I began to weep, and then I heard myself speaking in a language I've never heard before. It was the first time I prayed in the Holy Spirit. And I heard myself praying in that language that I've never heard before. And I knew it was because of Jesus Christ that I am alive. I walked away from that lie. First words count. How we respond when fear crashes into our world counts. Remember the words of Jesus. Take courage. Fear not, and allow what's left over to come out. If we take courage, if we fear not, guess what? That settles. That takes care of the doubt. Faith remains. Hope remains. Love, joy, peace remains. And that's what we'll speak out. That's what we'll act on. Where did I tell y'all to go? Did I tell y'all to go somewhere? No. Was that back in the day? Did we read Mark 6:50?
Yes.
Okay, so now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. God is not limited to our physical realm. The gateway to the supernatural is faith. If you're waiting for your deliverance to show up in the natural, you could find yourself on the wrong side of the gate. The gateway to the supernatural is faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 in the Amplified says, "For we walk by, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises." If we're not mindful of faith being the gateway to the supernatural, we could depend on something else to bring the desired result. We could depend on our influence, our education, our upbringing, our ability, our labor, and not depending on His favor. When you and I rejoice in the midst of the storm, we activate the supernatural. We release the power that's been given to us. If you wait to be of good cheer until you get to the other side, till you receive everything you're believing for, that's not faith at all. You'll find yourself limiting yourself to the natural realm. The last thing you want to do is bind yourself to the natural. If you and I become sight-minded, we bind ourselves to the natural, and the natural things love to steal, kill, and destroy. Our hope, our life, our light comes from the supernatural realm. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith requires you and I trusting God over what we see. We're talking about walking a lifestyle of faith. It's going to require you and I taking a step not knowing what the end result's going to be, taking a step not understanding. And we can't allow our understanding to limit God's ability. And that's what walking by sight does. Walking by sight binds us to our understanding. It binds us to our five physical senses. The faith walk causes our capacity to grow. It causes our expectation. It causes our belief. It raises our hope. Then and only then, we begin to walk in what God has called us to do. And that's what it's all about. You want to supersede you. You want your life to be the sum total of who He is, not who you are. And if we walk by sight, we're limited to self. We're limited to the natural. Only walking by faith stretches us. Only walking by faith causes us to tap into that supernatural potential, to where we look around and we say, "Dear God, how did I get here? Dear God, how did I get this business? Dear God, how did I get this woman? How did I get this man? Dear God, how did I get this ministry?" That's what happens when we begin to walk by faith and not by sight. We look up and we see ourselves living a life that only God could have orchestrated. Only God could have authored, architect the lives that we're living when we chose to live by faith. So very important. Faith doesn't work that way. Jesus told them to be of good cheer before He stilled the storm. He told them to get excited. He told them to rejoice. He told them to act a certain way before He did what He did to the storm. It's going to require you and I acting like the Word of God is so. Act like you're healed. Act like the Word that promises you peace is real. Act like the Word that says, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you," is true. Act like that when he says He will give seed to the sower, act like it's so. Amen. That's faith demonstrated. That's walking in faith. That's like the woman with the issue of blood. She broke the law. Now, I'm not advocating to break the law, but her expectation was so much, she didn't care that she wasn't supposed to be in public with her sickness, with her condition. 12 years she was bound to her home and to the physician. She had to go. She had to let people know she wasn't well. But her faith, her expectation, her desire caused her to get out in the crowd, go beyond the crowd, and grab hold of the hem of His garment. Why is faith so important to you and I? Because peace is worth pursuing. True or not true? How many of you have been out of peace and in peace? There is no comparison. True or not true? Peace is so much better. The faith walk produces peace. Why decide the faith walk? Because faith is the holder of your destiny. The realm that's above the storm is only found in faith. Walk in faith because that's how we honor God. As a church, we're designed to be God's governing assembly. Faith will never not be a part of your life. Is that good English? Never not be? Y'all know what I mean. Faith will always be a part of your life because you are an ambassador of heaven. Fear connects you to death. However, faith connects you to life. Faith connects you to God's ability. God's ability is your inheritance. Think about that for a second. Why limit Freddie to Freddie when I can attach my life to God? I can attach my ability to God Almighty. You can attach your ability to God Almighty. Don't limit yourself to you. That's not a knock to you. You bad. You got it going on. There's a lot that you have to offer. However, attaching ourselves to Him causes us to walk in our maximum potential. Faith connects us to life. How do we do this? Grab your notes in our application. How to walk in faith. Let's get our eyes on this. If you don't have notes, raise your hands. Everybody have notes? We need 1, 2, 3. Can we get notes, please? Raise your hands up so give them a chance to see you. Stand up, do a little dance. Be noticed. Be counted. Critical that we have our eyes. Do we have notes? Oh, look at your neighbor. My fault. I take full responsibility for not making enough notes. So, okay. If you have the app, open up the app. The notes are in there too. If you have the app and the notes in your hand, you double dipping anyway. So surrender your notes. use the app for your notes. And guess, or raise your hand again. Patty needed one. Diane needed one. Thank you. Any more? Liv, this gentleman here needs one. What's your name, sir? Chris. Chris, God said that He is granting you what you've been desiring. You've been seeking God for something, and I don't know the details of that, but He said, tell my son that I am granting him what he desires from me. So Chris, let's stretch our hands towards Chris. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your holy written word. Thank you for Chris's hope and expectation. Thank you for being such a good, good father and granting him with what it is that he's been seeking you for. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How to walk in faith. Number one says what? Take action. Family, after you hear, you need to take action. When Peter heard, come. If he wouldn't have stepped out, nothing would have happened. He would not be the only person recorded to walk on water along with Jesus. The word will equip you and I to walk in what God has called us to do. The word will equip us to walk on top of every situation and circumstance that tries to threaten us by drowning us. It tries to threaten us to steal from us. Isaiah 55:11 says, the same thing is true of the words I speak, that they will not return to me empty. They make the things happen that I want to happen, and they succeed in doing what I send them to do. When you and I take action, we can be reassured that the word of God does. It does not return void. What God sent the word to do in your life will happen. Number two says what? Keep hearing truth, family. Truth is what expands us. What we believe, we become. Say that to your neighbor. What you believe, you become. What we rehearse in our minds, we bring into existence. That's what meditation is. What we rehearse in our minds, we begin to manifest in our lives. Family, that is so critical. It's easy to overlook that. You have to understand what you meditate on, you begin to draw into your life. Don't take that lightly. Begin, if you find yourself meditating on a condition, a sickness, if you find yourself meditating on lack, stop that. Break that right then. You begin to speak out loud the word of God concerning that situation in your life. Number three,
don't lose hope.
Don't get weary in well-doing. You know, whenever there's an opportunity to get weary in well-doing, do more. You know, and I'm talking about works. I'm talking about things unto him. The best way to get out of your own way is begin to minister to somebody else. Amen. When you begin to lose hope for you, go share the love of God with somebody else. Yeah. And it works every single time. My proof text to number three is Proverbs. No, that's number four. Never mind. Nothing starts in the physical realm. That's not, please get this revelation. Nothing starts in the physical realm that's not already completed in the spiritual realm. That is a profound truth. If you've seen it, if God spoke it to you, if he started something in your life, that is the evidence of it being completed in the spirit realm. The spirit world is parent to the natural world. And if you've seen it, it's because it's already yours. Don't lose hope. Number four. Okay, I'm going to give y'all another chance. Okay, we're about to read number four. Okay, everybody, ready? Read. Release faith by speaking God's word. And that's what Proverbs 18:21 is a proof text of. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit of it. It matters what we say. It's not okay to say my back is killing me. It's not okay to say these kids are going to be the death of me. It's not okay to say I'm worrying to death. That is not okay. If you said yes to Jesus, you are now created in his likeness and his image, and you have creative power in your tongue. It matters what you say. Amen. Somebody else say amen to that, because that's true. It is true, and it's something that we can let slip. We can let it slip if we're not mindful of that. Number five says what?
Pray for boldness.
If the word of God, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Whenever we see an opportunity to pray for boldness, that means there's going to be times when you and I are going to lack boldness and confidence. We don't have to be left on our own. We could tap into the word of God, the truth of the word of God, to have boldness to do what he's called us to do. It's just like wisdom. James chapter 1 promises us that if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask. So don't ever find yourself in a position where you don't know what to do. That's when you go to the word of God and say, Lord, you said if I lack wisdom, all I got to do is ask. I'm asking. I have no idea what to do in this situation. Lord, help me. And then you quiet your mind. And you begin to hear and see what God is saying to you. It's a promise. Family, remember, there is power behind the promises of God. And that power is named Jesus. And he's the undisputed champion still. And he's going to see to it that you and I succeed in doing what he's called us to do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Through faith in Him. Through expecting, trusting, relying, and believing in Him, we have boldness and confidence made available. So when you and I get in a situation that we don't feel bold, we don't feel confident, when we're not sure what to do, where to go, how to say what we need to say, turn to this scripture, read that scripture, allow that to penetrate your belief system, and you speak according to the Word of God. 1 John 4:7 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. And that's the catch to that scripture. In this world, right now, as He is, so are we. And if you think about Him living in us, of course that's the truth. But what happens is we forget that. We begin to separate, like we will brag on Jesus as if we don't have that same authority. Isn't that the truth? We'll brag on Jesus and what He's done and what He's capable of doing, and we detach ourselves from that same power and authority. Jesus lives in you. So brag on yourself because of who He is. Yes, you are. You are an overcomer. You are victorious. You are whole. You are healed. You are powerful because who's in you? Family, whenever you are attacked with any type of depression or worry or stress, you got to understand, hold on. This is not of God. My truth says, greater is He that is in me. The greater one lives on the inside of you. You know what that means? You're great. You're great. The greatness of God resides in you. That means you're great. Don't kick Him out. Leave Him. Let Him be. Allow that greatness to dwell on the inside of you. You begin to do wonderful works for God. The power that the world needs resides in you. Release it. That's always going to be our part. We have to release it. It's just like receiving. It's the same thing. We can have all that power and not release it. We're not going to get people healed accidentally. It's not going to happen. It's going to be because you say something. It's going to be because you listen to the Holy Spirit and react to it that people are going to get healed. Wherever you go, He goes. That is critical. You know, so many, our authority resides in our obedience. Whoo! Write that down. Please settle that in your heart. If you don't hear that and grab hold of that truth, your authority resides in your obedience. If you don't obey the Word of God, the authority that Jesus died and rose from the grave from is dormant. It requires our obedience. When Jesus said, come, if Peter didn't go, there would have been no authority to walk on water. Family, the same is true in our lives. If we don't respond to the Word of God, our authority lies dormant. Do you realize Jesus is not going to kick the devil out of your life? Do you realize God is not going to counterfeit money in heaven? Do you understand the authority that you've been blessed with lies dormant if you do nothing with it? It's tight, but it's right. That's the truth. It is the absolute truth. And I lost my place. Where are we at? Number six says, everybody,
choose to forgive.
Choose to forgive. Family, unforgiveness is probably the most dominant robber of life in the body today. Unforgiveness absolutely steals from the body of Christ. If we are offended, faith is not producing in our lives. If we are holding on to unforgiveness, we are not praying for people like God commanded us to do. It may seem like it's your right to hold on. That person did this to me. I'm taking this to my grave. But the danger in that is you're the only one who loses. You're the only. I'm reminded of the vision I had concerning unforgiveness. I remember seeing a person in a chair with a black hood on, and the people around them were throwing rocks at the hood, and it was a picture of unforgiveness, and they were beaten, and the person who, because I was struggling with forgiving somebody, and what God showed me changed my life forever. I'm the one who was holding on to forgiveness, to unforgiveness, and the target of my unforgiveness was in the chair, and there was a black hood, and I was just, you know, a part of the crowd, throwing stones and hitting and punching. And then the illumination, the revelation that God showed me was the hood being lifted off, and the person in the chair was me. My unforgiveness was only hurting me. And you know better than I am, your unforgiveness will only hurt you. It might feel good because you feel like you have, you know. And here's the lie. Well, if I forgive them, I'm giving them permission to do it again, or I'm validating that what they did was right. That's a lie. That's not true at all. We forgive others because we listen to our Lord and Savior. He said to forgive. Matthew 18 is a proof text to that. 18:34 and 35. The worst thing you and I can do is harbor unforgiveness in our heart. That's a great way to harden our heart and stop receiving and stop being who God has called us to do. The root of bitterness will spring up fruit that will defile your entire body. The proof text, let's go there. Proof text to that statement, the root of bitterness will spring up and defile your entire body, is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. In fact, do we have it on the screen in the Amplified media team? Hebrews chapter 12. Ready? Oh, no, we'll have the screen. I'll read it. It says, strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Verse 15 says, oops, that's why I got my back up. Oh. Verse 15 says, see that no one falls short of God's grace, that no root of resentment spring up and causes trouble, and by it may be defiled. Let's read verse 16 together. Ready? Read. That no one may become guilty of sexual vice or become a profane, godless, sacrilegious person as Esau did, with whom sold his own birthright for a single meal. Now, a response of bitterness will turn on you and defile you, and you'll wind up being someone you never intended on being, as a attempt to get back at someone or to hold on your right to not forgive. And that's extremely dangerous. Number 7. Embrace the love of God. You know, Being rooted and grounded in love, you know what that does? That prevents other roots from growing on the inside of you. You're not going to produce roots of bitterness. You're not going to produce from roots of bitterness if you're rooted and grounded in love. If you and I say, you know, I'm fine, I am settling this, I'm going to root my life in love, then what's going to be produced is going to be good, loving, peaceful, joy. And that's critical. That's something we have, that's something we always have the ability to do. We always can operate that way. And faith works by love. We're talking about the faith walk. It's impossible to walk in faith without walking in love. Forgiveness is an act of love. Not you loving the individual, you loving God. You having a relationship with God and you're responding to what he says for us to do. Can we trust him over our own opinions, beliefs, resentment? Yeah, absolutely. Number 8. Did I give you guys number 8? Thank you. Praise God and thank him for the answer. Now, there's no greater example of us believing God, taking God for our, you know, if you ever had a sickness that was binding you, trespassing in your body, you begin to thank God and praise God for your healing. Watch what happens. You have some kind of stress or pressure attacking your mind. You begin to confess the mind of Christ, begin to worship and praise God for freedom and victory. Watch what happens. There's something supernatural that takes place when we begin to act like the word of God is true. When we begin to do what he says do, there's power that makes itself available. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us by your word. Thank you for teaching us by your spirit. Now help us to hear clearly what you would have us to do next. What are you saying to us, Lord? Help us to fulfill our calling, our purpose. Those things that you have placed in our hearts, the goals, the dreams, the gifts, you know exactly how to get us from where we are to where they're manifested and fulfilled in our lives. Father, I'm praying for everyone here and everyone watching online. Let boldness arise. I speak to every person hearing my voice. Faith come. Boldness, favor come. Thank you for showing us how to walk in our authority. I come against all distractions right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that it is your voice. That's the loudest voice that we hear. We pray for those who need to return to you, Lord. Show them that you are waiting with arms stretched out. You're pursuing them. Show them, Lord. I bind up fear, lack, and unbelief right now. I bind up every form of poverty. I boldly declare a release of faith in this place like never before. Thank you for supernatural outpouring. Thank you for an awakening, a quickening of hearts and spirits, desires. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out your spirit on us all. If there's someone here today or someone who may be watching online, if you have never received Jesus, I don't want to take it for granted that everyone has already accepted the receivedness, the forgiveness that Jesus died for. So I'm inviting you to pray now, to open your heart. Let's pray and ask the Lord for help. First and foremost, say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my wrongdoing. I admit that I've been a sinner. I admit that I choose to do it my way. I acknowledge you, Lord. You died for me. I believe it in my heart, and I'm confessing it in my mouth right now. Jesus, you are Lord. Forgive me for sin. Receive me now as your child. Thank you for dying for me. I'm choosing to live for you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the first time, you don't have to wait. You don't have to tarry. You don't have to do anything but ask for the Holy Spirit. I believe with all of my heart, in order to live a victorious Christian life, it requires all of us saying yes to the forgiveness of Jesus and saying yes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit so we can live this life in victory, power, and help of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray this together. Let's say, Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I believe you are for me. I'm asking you to fill me to overflowing. Come into my life. Fill me up and help me to live a victorious Christian life. I pray this now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.